Blog Talk Radio
presents a Blog Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and I'm so happy to be back. I don't even know if I told you how happy I am to be back. I love hanging out with you guys. We have a great guest tonight. I can't wait to hang out with him tonight. We're going to have so much fun. But before we start, thank you again to bassist Pat DeSalvo from Savoy Brown. Last night we had him on, and we hung out, and we played some music and off of their new album, Blues All Around. So check that out. .com and anywhere you get music online. And if you love the blues rock, you'll love this album. So thank you again, Pat DeSalvo. So without further ado, tonight we have with us actor, producer, cool kid in the 80s, 90s, 90s specific, remember, Mr. Keith Coogan, famously known as being in the cult classics Adventures in Babysitting, Mom, the Baby to Die. I can't remember the name of it, but you know what, Keith? You are so much more than that. You've been in so many other things. It's amazing. Mork and Mindy, Laverne and Shirley, Fantasy Island, Silver Spoon. The list goes on and on and on. Keith Coogan, welcome to Applause Radio. How are you, sir?
Oh, I am amazing. Thank you for having me on. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you fine. Yeah. We don't care about anybody else.
What a list of credit. Thank you for the great intro, and thank you everybody for listening. That's amazing.
Oh my goodness, we could go on and on. I mean, the list is just unbelievable. When did you stop acting? Like finally say I'm done with this, or you never?
Never.
Did.
I know you're still doing it. I never said I would stop acting. I love it so much. It's something that. Because people ask me all the time, how do I get my kid in show business? I want to get in. How do you get an agent? How do you get into it? And some people are ready for it. Some people aren't.
Right.
It's the type of thing, I call it the horizontal test. If to drag that kid off the stage, you get them horizontal because they are holding on to a piece of that set, and they have to do this, then it's the right industry career for them. And I've been that way since I was 6 years old. The first time I saw a fake set, the fake brick wall and the cables and the grips and everyone running around and the lights. And I went, I want to do this the rest of my life.
I'm not leaving. You were in the horizontal position. You weren't leaving.
Yeah, nope, I wasn't leaving. And I just
I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm dying to talk to you. You know, you come from acting royalty. Your grandfather was Jackie Coogan. I know you were probably very young when he passed, but did you get to talk to him at all about acting and any advice from him for you?
I did, and I was so lucky. There was so when I started, I had no idea. He was in the business. I didn't know the family, my great-grandfather, my grandfather. I didn't know my grandmother was a dancer. I didn't know my great-grandmother was a singer, nothing. And because my mother was a 16-year-old runaway Catholic schoolgirl, hippie chick that was very smart, very sharp. And she was going to school in Sacramento. We were living on welfare. And I was watching Sesame Street one day. I had no idea. I had a different name because my mother's maiden name would be the Coogan.
Right.
So I wasn't even a Coogan. And I said, I want to be on TV. So cut to me getting an agent and doing commercials and starting the business. And my mother reconnected with my grandfather, and I started to hear the stories of, oh, the kid and Chaplin, and, you know.
Right.
I thought they were kind of braggadocious.
Mm-hmm.
I was precocious at 7, 8 years old, and I'm like, oh, really? The crowd was so big they had to lift your car on their shoulders to get you out of there. My grandfather seemed braggy. He would say things like, most kids went to go visit Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth came to see me. And and he said he caught the flu once, and it pushed the president off the front page of the New York Times.
He had every right to brag. He was a great
he
actor.
Did.
He had, you know, he had every right.
And he saw himself as a peer of the adults, even at 5. Mm-hmm. He goes, I could do that bit. I could do it funnier. And so if he could get a bigger laugh than an adult, boom, he instantly at 6 or 7 learns that he has higher status than this other person in that vein. So by the time I was 6 or 7 and not an international film star, he relaxed. The competition wasn't that bad. He never helped me with a scene. He never helped me read dialogue. The joke is he'd only gave me, you know, advice like watch your money, be careful of mothers. I had Tom Sawyer audition. Disney was doing a new Tom Sawyer. His first talkie at 13 was Tom Sawyer.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. With Junior Durkin playing Huck Finn. So fun. Then they did Huck Finn. And I said, would you help me with the scene? And he said, nope. He said, that is your part, that you make your own choices. That's your part to play.
You're on your own, kid.
It went to one of the kids from Home Improvement. So,
well, you know what? It is kind of good advice. You're on your own. You know, I mean, you don't want to act like him. You want to act like you. You want to be an actor in your own right. You know.
Yeah, you don't want a parent feeding line readings or stuff.
Right. Right.
I mean, they can help. And for me, you know, I started reading at a very young age. That helped me get up to speed to do like pages of copy for television commercials at 5 years old.
Right.
I think being read is really, really huge. Education is huge. Being able to act, also being able to behave. He said, "You're working with adults, my grandma." And by the way, I was 14, so I was very lucky to have a good 6, 7, 8 years of knowing my grandfather, spending summers
very nice
with them. Yeah, it was nice. It's a funeral. 2 people eulogized him, John Astin and myself. And it was heartbreaking. There was tons of support. He was loved by a lot and also not loved by a lot. As I grew up in the business, my mother would not let me use the Mitchell name, but I did find out because she didn't want me to get nepotism and hired just for that, but inevitably there were people that knew. And they go, oh, you're Jackie Coogan's grandson. I'm like, and I go, yeah. And they go, half of them would go, oh, Jack, that's great. And I did this, whatever. And the other half would go, oh, Jack.
Right.
I've heard a lot of crazy
stories. He made a name in more ways than one. He made a name in more ways than one, right?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Now, I'm curious. I don't want to focus too much on him because we're talking about you. I mean, obviously, one of the greatest actors classic actors that we will never see again, unfortunately, he's a certain age. But do you or have you carried on his charities that he was involved in, and especially the children's bill, the Coogan Act? Do you carry on anything with that, or no? That's pretty much run itself.
Oh, no, we absolutely support expanding it from the 4 states it's law in to it's California, New York, Louisiana, and there's an income trigger in Arizona. You have to make at least $5,000 before you get the Coogan Act protections. So I want to expand it. There's no reason that the Labor Department in every state can't say, yeah, let's just make the Coogan Act, you know, standard nationwide. 15% of their income put aside, 3 hours of schooling, no overtime, and background checks on adults that work with minors. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all we need.
Thank God. Thank God, right? Thank God for that.
Yeah. Really is. It's something that I've had kids come up and they'll have turned 18. And they'll be, you know, I just want to thank you and your family. You know, I got my money. And a lot of kids didn't.
Right. Well, what did you think of that when he said, I had to sue my parents for my money? Well, you must have been like, wow. Uh-oh. I lost him. I lost you, Keith. Keith, we got disconnected. Oh, no. Oh, no. Crap. Let me see if I can get him on the phone. Hold on 1 second, guys. See if I can get him. I got his number here. Let's see what happened here. Keith?
All right.
Keith, can you hear me?
Yes, hello. Absolutely.
Hi, we got disconnected. Oh, gosh. I'm trying to call you now, actually.
I know. I'm going to just do nothing, and hopefully that'll all...
Yeah, I know. I can't. I tried
itself.
Hanging it up. I don't know why it's not hanging up. And I don't want to hit this because I don't want to lose you.
No, we're
good. Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message
system.
There we go.
There it is. Let me hang
that
up. There we go. I got rid of it. There we go. It had to pop up on my screen. I didn't see it. I apologize for that. Where were we?
No problem.
Where were we?
This is a much clearer line, by the way. So that is a big bomb to drop on a family dynamic.
Yeah.
The breadwinner is in single-digit age, millions of dollars of income. And it did. It wrecked the family. However, I remember growing up, I got to meet my great-grandmother, the very woman who took all the earnings and squandered it and my grandfather had to sue. And I met her. We would be running from school to an audition, find out that the father in the role, whoever they cast, the actor was a brunette, and we'd quickly go to my great-grandmother's house and get a quick rinse, like a brunette rinse from the beauty shop. And dye my hair in her sink, then I would run off to an audition for, you know, some silly 70s TV show.
Hmm. So did they ever reconcile or no?
They did. They talked.
Good.
I mean,
good.
I guess it's just business, you know.
Yeah,
it wasn't,
of course.
It wasn't very warm.
Mm-hmm.
But, I called. She was in a wheelchair later. I always remembered her and saw her in a wheelchair. And I called her Nana in the Wheelbarrow. I didn't know the difference between a wheelchair and a wheelbarrow.
Right. I'm sure she appreciated that. But You know what's weird, Keith? I always thought that you and Corey Feldman were related because I guess I was intermingling the fact that he's got the Children's Act as well. I forgot what his is called, but his is to protect kids against sexual issues, and you know your grandfather's was to protect against finances and kids as well, you know, the labor issue. So I always thought you guys were related, but you did work together with Corey, I believe, a couple of times. No,
oh yeah, 5-6 times. I mean, we were the first one, and I don't think he remembers this. I'm just a year or two older than Corey, but in maybe 1975 or 76 I was a hand model for him on a Mattel commercial, on a little like a train, a plastic choo-choo train. And so they would shoot with him in the commercial and then break him
use
for
the
school and then I use my hands for the close-ups.
Oh, how crazy is
and then
that?
What
was wrong with his hands? What was wrong with Corey's hands that they had to use your hands?
Yeah, you need to go 3 hours of school. Or he bit his fingernails. I don't know. My mom said that. And I go, you know what? He probably needed, you'd need an hour recreation, an hour lunch, 3 hours of school. And at that age, you can only work a 10-hour day. You always have a couple of kids laying around. But then we did the Fox and the Hound. I was the voice of the fox, and Corey was the voice of the hound.
Mm-hmm.
And we did Gary Coleman, and
that's a blast from the past.
The kid with the and Robert Keel, the kid with the broken halo, and
I remember that was sad. Yes. Oh, that was a very sad little cute movie, though. I mean, at the time it was very sad because I was young, so you know. Oh, I remember that. Yes,
and we also,
yes.
you know, we see each other in functions and events and award shows and celebrity charity stuff. And then also I auditioned for Goonies, and I get to the audition, and there's about 9 or 10 kids. So they have two of each kid they're looking at, and they're going to do mix and matches and see which group works best together and stuff. And I look at Corey across this cool plexiglass case that's got a pirate ship inside of it, and I say, "Hey, Corey, who are you auditioning for?" And it was the same character, Mouse. So, I think I went up for a different role in Stand By Me. Oh, I was cast in Dream a Little Dream. I was going to be a co-star, but they wound up finding out Corey Haim was available, and I found out at an awards ceremony, Feldman is on stage. He goes, "I want to introduce my co-star in the new movie," and I had already been to the production office, hung out with him and the director. I thought I was cast, but I hadn't signed a contract yet, and he goes, points over to the next table and says, "Corey Haim."
Oh, God.
We're all good friends. We were lucky to have a lot of work. There was maybe
40 How awkward that, you know, you guys were buddies. Yeah. You hung out. You know, you were the little mini Rat Pack, you know. And, you know, to have to go up against the same roles all the time, that must have been a shitty feeling. Ugh, you know.
I mean, there's times where you're sitting there getting ready and in walks Christian Slater. Or River Phoenix, or Patrick Dempsey, or John Cusack, and you go, "Oh, they're perfect. I would cast them." And then there's also times that I've had actors tell me that they said, "Yeah, I was sitting there, and then you'd walk in, and they'd go, 'Oh, damn, Keith Coogan's here. Well, he's going to get the part.'" So, I learned to flex.
The competition
was
fierce. The competition was fierce.
It is. It is. Yeah. You got to say, "Come on, walk into the waiting room and go, 'Okay, everybody can go home now. I'm going to get the part.'" And I used to do that, and everyone would laugh. And one time I did it on a commercial audition, and a guy looked at me, and he goes, "Oh, really?" I'm like, "Okay, I'll stop doing that joke."
Who was
Actors
the guy?
Or avaricious.
Who was the guy that
I
said
don't,
it to you?
I don't know. He's probably the guy that got the Mr. Mayhem commercial, and he probably makes $160,000 a year doing commercials.
Oh,
I don't
my
know.
God.
You never
That's
know.
So
you
funny.
Never know.
Right.
Bryan Cranston played the silly uncle. A supporting role in a television series called Raising Miranda. And it was far, you know, long ago. This is in the late 80s, early 90s, before Breaking Bad. You never know who you're working with.
Right.
You never know who's going to make it someday.
Right.
Yeah,
you never know. And it's so funny because now you say Bryan Cranston, you know, he's up there now. And, of course, Christina Applegate, who you worked with in the babysitting movies. Well, which one? That was the one, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, right? I think there was that
one.
Oh,
absolutely. She's
now,
great in Dead to Me. She's great in everything.
Yeah, so now you guys are still friends or no?
Sure. Here's the sad thing, and I said this to a cast member on the film Toy Soldiers. We were nearing wrap, and he goes, "Hey, Keith, so after we're going to hang out and stuff?" And I said, "Well, probably not. You're going to get a project. I'm going to be shooting in New York. You're going to be shooting in Vancouver. Then we're not going to really, you know, it's probably not. This is the time we have, these 3 months while we're making this movie, and then, you know, we'll see each other on the next ship, maybe, you know."
Right.
It's a big city, but it's a small town. And Hollywood...
Yeah.
You know, is a place where you do run into each other. You work with people again. It's also a place where you often have to work with people that you don't like.
Right. That's
exactly.
Where your acting skills come into play.
That's when your acting skills, or not, that's where you just sit there and push their buttons on camera all day.
That's true. But what I was getting at with Christina and Bryan Cranston is, like, I always wondered, like, people that started out together, and if one does become more famous than the other, why don't they ever take care of them? Like, "Oh, I'll have you in my next movie." Or, you know, it's like people should do that.
You know, I think that it is the people surrounding a star, the managers and agents, the producers, the studio executives saying, "You know, that series you did and with you and the other buddy, well, we kind of want to change your career into like a romantic lead, and we kind of want to separate your image from them. So we'd rather not say co-star with you or do cameos or anything." Some stars listen to them, and some stars do not. And they go, "You know what, I'm still casting my friends." Like Adam Sandler will cast his buddies who've been with him through 20, 25, 30 pictures. he will continue to be loyal to his crew.
Right. Yep. I got to ask you this. I didn't want to go back to your grandfather again. I got two things, though. The Kid, that was a classic movie. Did you ever, like, anybody ever approach you since you were late, say, you play the kid in this and do a remake of it? Did you ever want to do it?
No, I think I was far too old by the time, you know, something like that. It finally entered public domain. There have been student projects. There's been people that have shot the kid with their own kid. But nothing will, you know, be like Chaplin's version. There's no reason to revisit it. It's perfect. And both of his versions, he has the original version. And then he added a soundtrack in 1970 or so, re-upping the copyright and cutting out three scenes and making it shorter. So, there's no reason to redo the kid.
I know. I just thought it'd be cool if you played the kid and, you know, your grandfather was the kid. That would have been cool.
At one point, I was like, I could be the chaplain role. I'll find a kid that, you know, has the chops and the big eyes and the hat on him and the suspenders, and let's do it.
Right. One more about Grandpa here. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like one of the, like, I love.
Yeah, he was like one of the first of his time to get like major merchandise. You know how we had the lunch boxes and everything. He was plastered all over everything. Do you have anything from that collection?
One of each, I'd say.
Really?
You know, there's the, nice. You know, the little figurine, then the bigger doll, then the bigger doll, then the one that's by the fireplace. There's the, like, pewter hood ornaments that they put on Rolls Royces. There is pencil tins and peanut butter box, you know, sheet music, official haircuts. He was one of the first heavily merchandised stars. Half of his income was from merchandising. And then he also was one of the first stars to lend his name to a humanitarian cause. The Armenian Genocide was happening, and he turned to great-granddad, Jack Sr., and he goes, what can I do to help? I'm sure there's something I could do to help. Well, Jackie, what do you think you could do?
Yeah.
And Jackie's like, well, why don't we do a circus? And they did a little Jackie circus, and it raised some money, and that was good. And he goes, I want to do more. So he put together the Children's Crusade. It was a campaign across the country, raising money for Near East Relief, which was providing food, clothing, medicine to support the camps set up to take care of the orphans.
Very nice.
Streaming out of Armenia. And after collecting all and gathering it, put it on two barges and take it over. They dropped it off in Greece, and then it was taken inland to support everybody. It was what's that?
When was that roughly?
Probably he was born in 14. I would say he was 8 or so. So 20.
Wow.
1920. So I don't trust me. Trust ask Wikipedia or Chat GPT.
Yeah. Ask Siri. Oh wait, I can't say Alexa or Siri because then mine will go off.
No.
So.
That's terrible.
I know, right? And you also did, you worked on with Corey on A Tale of Two Corys, and I think you did the documentary, The Rape of the Two Corys. Am I correct on that?
Yes, I did. And, you know, I was there. I had really good support from my mom, who exercised her right to be within sight and sound of her child at all times throughout every project I did as a kid. And although there are people she pointed out to us when we get to the set, my mom would go, stay away from that guy, and that guy. And I did. So I was very lucky. I know that other kids aren't and weren't. And my way to support is that my parents should be there. It's a clear that you should know the cautions of entering any place where you have children working alongside of adults, school situation, a church situation, anytime. There's just precautions that could be taken.
Yeah, and that's anywhere. It's not just in acting. It's everywhere. You know, you have
everywhere.
To take care of your kids.
Even for adults, the Screen Actors Guild said that three people have to be in the room at all times for any casting, any meeting.
Yeah, you know who I've been dying to talk to? Jeanette McCardle from McCurdy. What's her last name? Jeanette McCurdy. McCurdy from iCarly. You've probably heard this rumor going around about Dan Schneider from all the Nick stuff and the Disney. I think it's Nick, but I've been dying to talk to her. She's got a new book out, and I've seen some stuff from her and another actress, what's her name, Amanda Bynes, I think, had supposedly, this is all, I don't know, I don't have any proof of this, of course, but, you know, they got to stay with their kids, you know, you can't leave your kids alone. I never did. Even your own family you can't trust, you know?
No. And remember, the shock and the anger is proportional to the distance from the type of films or TV it is.
Mm.
So if you're producing a kid's show or kid targeted and something like that happens, that's a lot different. I mean, I think if it's the, you know, Exorcist or something, you're at the Brooke Shields thing, you go, well, everyone around understands we are sexualizing this child at this time. The studio had agreed, the parent agreed, the social worker on set, the cameraman, he's rolling the camera. We're all agreeing we can do this right now, right? They're like, it's based on the book, and then saying, okay, fine, we'll shoot it. But when there's rumors of something that goes on behind, something that's kid-oriented, that really is shocking, and people get pretty upset. Because it seems like something that could be used as a magnet to say,
right, hey, especially if you continue to do it, and you keep bringing your kid back to it.
Yeah, well, you know.
Right.
With Baron Cohen.
I didn't want to delve too much into that, but I didn't get to see.
Well, you really know how to bring the room down, don't you?
Oh, I know. That's what I said. But no, I didn't get a chance to check out A Tale of Two Quarries. I had wanted to catch it, and I didn't see it. So I'm going to try and get caught up on that and check that out.
Ooh,
and your documentary, The Rape of the Two Quarries, where can we see that?
I think that was exclusively sold online when it premiered. I don't know where that's available, Rape of Two Quarries. Tale of Two Quarries, the Lifetime one was.
Yeah.
So you know how you expect like a Lifetime movie to be like kind of sordid and just show all the warts and the like scandal and like maybe be pretty cheaply made, look like it was shot quickly. So like 2 out of 3 ain't bad because it is so scandalous. It is shows everything, and I was shocked because I'd heard stories and stuff, but after filming it, I didn't read the whole script. I only got my part.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, wow, I had no idea.
Right.
And it's also one of the best made. Like I go, this looks too good to be a Lifetime movie. I'm actually I'm very proud of it. I think it's a great thing for parents to watch, not with their kids, but for parents to watch, two strong kids, talented, successful, that still had trouble saying no or talking about it or going to somebody for help.
Right.
So that shows you that, what about a vulnerable child?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
it's a shame.
I consider Corey Haim or Corey Feldman ever to be vulnerable. They were, there's, so many. You mentioned, so many names. It just shouldn't happen. So
Right. And I believe, I'm not sure if it's in the Lifetime one or your documentary, but you do actually mention, someone mentioned some names. They dropped some names in there is that not true?
I am a small just part of mine, and mostly I support the social worker aspect, the protecting of the money and the supervision of the children. I don't get into any of the other stuff, and I did not make the film or produce it or direct it. You kept saying
didn't you do the documentary though, the Rape of the Two Quarries? No, I thought you were on that.
I was interviewed for it. Yeah,
oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No.
I thought it was
totally
your documentary
understood.
On the guys. I thought you did it. I apologize.
No problem. That's fine. But I totally support Corey, and I know he's had it rough, and he works really, really hard. He always has his whole life, and he's funny. I have a lot of friends in Hollywood, a lot of them are actresses and stuff, and I'll be doing a stupid play or a stand-up or something, and I'll invite people in. Nobody will come, but Corey will show up.
Aww.
And then I'll go to one of his things, or I'll go to see his concert, then he'll come to my play, then I'll go see his thing, and I go, he's probably one of the most supportive people I know. And I did the crazy, you know how Corey, they think he's got this wild, like, white rock star lifestyle and his angels and, you know, of course, lovingly married to Courtney. However, I did the craziest thing with Corey last year. We went bowling with his family.
Oh, my God, rated R.
I know. I mean, TMZ was waiting to try to get pictures, and we just wouldn't let him. It was great.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. He actually sings pretty good. I saw him do a live performance online, and he sounds really good.
And I think that performer's a great way because he totally acts. He gets offers, and he'll do a couple projects a year. He's great.
Yeah.
He also, you know, tough. In the 80s, a lot of child stars and teen stars were making records or doing a single or having an album. It was kind of part of the whole package. Kind of like in the 90s where they were just handing talk shows to everybody. So, but Corey loved it and continues to do it and continues to make music and produce music and tour and perform. I couldn't even dance in the dance floor for a whole song of his, and he does a 2-hour show.
So, right, it's amazing.
It really is amazing.
Yeah. Now you've not only been in so many different TV shows and movies, you also do theater. Which do you prefer, theater or film?
No preference. I think that the theater I had learned first, kind of like, I'd say my first thing was I was 16 and doing Miss Margarita's Way at the Beverly Hills Playhouse. And then I studied theater in high school, and I started doing more plays. I formed helped found a theater company, the Troubadour Theater Company here in Los Angeles, and then supported Timothy Busfield and his brother Buck Busfield have a theater, the B Street Theater in Sacramento. And I did a string of plays with them up there in the early 90s. I was just recently in, what was the love movie? What was that Ryan Paul James play I did? Desperately Seeking Love. Oh, what a fantastic play. And I also Diary of Anne Frank recently, too.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, again, to mention everything you've been in, again, all the sitcoms and the films, stupid question. Which one did you enjoy the most? I mean, I'm sure you loved them all. And Adventures in Babysitting and Don't Tell Mom That the Babysitter's Dead, they look like they were so much fun to do. So you got to tell me, did you really enjoy doing those? And I'm sure you enjoyed doing it all. As I said, it's a stupid question. It's not for me. It's for the audience. How's that?
Right. So there's kind of not a tie, but a different way to kind of look at the question, I think. And so two movies kind of top the list in different ways. Adventures of Babysitting isn't on there. Oh, of course, we had fun, but it was also really hard work. We're shooting in the winter in Canada, like Toronto, for a month, 3 months, all night shoot. Hanging out of cars and running around, climbing on buildings and stunts, and so it was a lot of work. The results are great, and Chris Columbus's directorial debut, it made good money for Touchstone Pictures and Jeffrey Katzenberg, and everyone's happy.
Yeah,
Cousins is one of my favorite films to watch.
Oh.
Ted Danson, Isabella Rossellini, Sean Young, William Peterson, Lloyd Bridges, Norma Aleandro, and directed by Joel Schumacher, made for Paramount. And it is just one of the most shamelessly romantic films. And I have a great part. Joel Schumacher dressed me. He designed all of my outfits. But the funnest one to work on was Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Yeah, that one was fun. There were some moments in there. Oh, my God. You couldn't help but laugh. I don't know how you kept straight faces doing that.
I'll do quotes at, like, autograph conventions or Q&As, and someone will be like, say it. You know, dishes are done, man, or say other lines. and at this point, you know, I've said it a bunch of times, and it's a parrot, a mockery of a copy of a parrot. And I'm like, every once as an actor, I'll be watching TV and other people's performances, and I'll take what they did, put it down on the page, take it back, and we'll go, how would have I done that scene? So now I'll look at some of my old dialogue or scenes, and I'll go, I'll try it again. I'll see if I can get myself in the same headspace as when I did it. And
right.
I don't know, something about film. What I learned from theater, the rawness, the live, you have to do this show, a two-hour show, eight nights a week, or eight shows a week, Tuesday, two on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, two on Saturday, and one on Sunday. And it is hard. It is really, really hard work.
Nice.
But if you take – and it's live every night. So something happens,
right.
A prop falls, you have to deal with it, you have to change and adapt. And there may be one moment in a whole six-week run of a play that you feel is honest and truthful movie. You're like, wow, did everybody catch – yeah, that was amazing. Wow. Maybe
yeah.
if you're lucky, you get a second on stage.
Right.
Film, you have the ability to capture that.
Right.
Edit everything out. Edit every other bad take out. And the film has a way to endure a moment that maybe happened once. Jack Nicholson
right.
freaking out in Cuckoo's Nest. This one take, he did that thing. And he
right.
never repeated it again. And so I kind of learned that. So with directors, I'll give them lots of options. Here's take one. Here's a different take. That's why they call it a take. Do
right.
a different take on that, like a different angle on it.
Yeah. Right. Now, this is going to be – you're going to think this is a – you said I brought it, everybody down before. Now, you worked on shows with people that are no longer with us. And did you ever say to yourself, my God, these people that I've worked with, I can't believe how many I've lost. I mean, Mork and Mindy – Robin Williams is gone. Laverne and Shirley, both are gone. Little House on the Prairie. Michael Landon's gone. I mean, the Waltons, the mom and dad and, you know, and the grandfather. I don't. No. Michael Lernert is still with us. That's right. I've had her on the show,
oh,
actually.
Oh, yeah. And she is the sauciest, spiciest.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, she's great. She's got a foul mouth. I love her so much.
Yeah, but it's just so crazy how, like, can you believe that everybody worked with, well, not everybody, I'm sorry, I apologize for that. Like, a large majority of the people you worked with are no longer with us, and I can't imagine what it's like to be you to say, wow, I worked with that person, and they're no longer here, and that they were all major talents. I mean, Robin Williams especially. I mean, God, you know? It's just crazy.
Yeah, no, it is usually, oh, you know, share something on social media and just say they'll be missed.
Right.
That's it. They're going to be missed.
Yeah.
And the one benefit of this, and we all lose people at home and school and family and
yeah.
work, but this one we have really good documentation of our time together. We have
right.
fun. We can
right.
stream it. We can buy it on DVD. We could go, you know, hit up Amazon and tell them, ship me that moment. And for me, lucky, I can reach back 47 years now.
Amazing.
53.
Wow.
I got my union card at 6 years old, and I can look
wow.
back. I can enjoy these. We're watching Love Boat and Fantasy Island. You know, like a Love Boat I did with Reggie Jackson. Fantasy Island I did with Bob Denver.
Wow.
So those are the, yeah, I do miss all of the Jonathan Winters. And yeah, I miss, of course, all the
greats. All the greats. All the greats.
They're gone.
You know, it's just,
yeah.
You've had some experience, my friend. An amazing career.
Appreciate it when they're here. And as a writer, producer, whatever director, I always try to write or create roles that if you reach out and cast, you could lean on some of those actors that are
right.
in their older years, have a
mm-hmm.
great body of work, and
mm-hmm.
you make their medical payments through SAG.
Always got to remember that, right? We always got to think of that.
See, my grandfather, that was another thing, is my grandfather kept working, and he worked until he died. He has a credit, The Prey, that was released in the year he died. And, He'd be living, he's semi-retired in Palm Springs. which is 90 minutes from L.A. And he'd get a call a couple times a year. Perry Mason, Lucy Show, Brady Bunch, Wild Wild West. Hey, Jack, you want to come out, work for a week? And he loved it. He loved going on set.
Nice.
One of the last Perry Mason episode filmed, and I think my grandfather did 5 Perry Masons, all different characters in them. The last Perry Mason episode, they shot at Chaplin Studios, where they shot The Kid.
Wow. So many things come together in your family, your life, and your career. It's like it's so many things that the degrees of separation, that's just amazing, you know? It's crazy. Oh, I can't imagine what it's like to be you. That's for sure. That's for sure. You're probably saying you don't want to be me, Joanne. I'm only kidding. So where can we see Keith Coon now? What are we working on? What's going on?
We got, there's an Amazon Prime series out called On Our Own. It's a bunch of Jersey boys that are older, but their parents moved to Florida and retired. So now they can't live at home anymore. They got to live on their own. I play a scummy divorce attorney in episode 6.
Where is that? Where is that at?
That's on Amazon Prime.
Nice. It sounds like it's funny too. Is it comedy?
Oh, it's totally comedy.
Yeah.
I did The Rookie on ABC with Nathan Fillion, and that was awesome. We've got 2 movies coming out. Team of 2. One is a detective kind of trapped in the 80s that can't keep a partner, so he goes through 19 different partners. And then I've got, Wrong Reasons. It just finished a theater circuit and will be released DVD or, you know, downloaded in June, I think. And that is produced by Kevin Smith from the Jay and Silent Bob universes and directed by Josh Rausch. And it is kind of a punk rock thriller comedy. And I play a really obnoxious news anchor, kind of like Anderson Cooper. I repeated myself.
What do you watch? What are you into? What do you watch on TV or online or what are you into?
So everything from, you know, comedies like Abbott Elementary and American Auto to reality shows or game shows like the Voice or the Top Chef or the Shark Tank. We also love The Last of Us. Right now on HBO is fantastic. Just grab it. We're watching Kidding and Shrinking on Apple Plus. We have so many shows to catch up to.
I was going to say, where do you find the time to watch all these shows? I wasn't expecting you to list a whole bunch of shows. Where do you find time to watch these?
Do you know where we find the time? We find it the same time that we found it thousands of years ago when we were in little villages and people hunted during the day and they came back and the sun came down and they cooked the meat and they ate. And then around the campfires when the storyteller would start and the stars would come out. So today we still go out and we hunt and we work all day and then we come home and we get dinner and then there's primetime television to share the stories and the conversations of our lives and kind of process it. So we still
great
use
analogy.
Our behavior.
Yep,
we
great
just have
analogy.
Fewer voices can reach broader audiences. I'm lucky and grateful to live in a city that makes, you know, 90% of the content that we see. It's shot within 30 miles of where I'm standing right now because of union regulations. And it's great. It's total blessing, totally grateful, totally lucky, and totally appreciate the fans and of course, all co-stars and crews and stuff like that. And you run into people all the time.
Right. There's a chiller coming up in Jersey, I think, in April. Are you doing that one?
We are trying to get into chiller in April, right, babe? We have to. It'll be the 10th anniversary that I proposed to my wife, Pinky, at chiller.
Very nice.
I proposed to her at chiller 10 years ago. So we are trying to get into the show. Good. Let's blast that out. Chiller. April.
Yes, congratulations on your anniversary, though. Congratulations on your anniversary.
I know. I was about to preface the whole thing. We are not confirmed guests,
Okay.
Love to, and thank you for the congratulations. We're trying to use that angle. We have a co-star there, Annabeth Gish, from Hiding Out with John Cryer, and Jeremy and Jason London. Who else is over there? There's a really great group of people there. The Wonder Years people are there.
Yeah, I didn't see the guest list. I didn't see it. I may go this time, yeah.
It is one of the greatest and biggest fan convention, autograph convention, meet and greet, merchandise, toys, games, clothing, jewelry, art. It's fun. And it's really mostly pop culture stuff.
Right. And I hope you get in it. And like I said, I'm trying to get there this year to go check it out. And if you're there, I hope to bump into you and say hello. So, oh, my goodness, is there anything you'd like to add for your fans out there other than that you love them so much and what you're working on? I mean, we already said On Our Own is on Amazon Prime. Team of Two is coming out. Wrong Reasons. Anything else?
Maybe
your website. Do you have a website?
I do. KeithCooganOnline.com.
There you go. There you go, folks. KeithCooganOnline.com. Are you doing the online thing anymore? I think you were doing the blogs. You were doing blogs, I think, at one time, weren't you?
Oh, I was doing a monologue a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I did like 192 of them. I ran out of steam on that. But we have a new YouTube channel. It is Keith and Pinky's Hollywood Tales. And it is, we go to premieres, autograph conventions, travel, Hollywood stuff. We have a series of two-question interviews. We pin down celebrities at these events and friends at conventions, and we ask them two questions. So to see what those two questions are, go to Keith and Pinky's Hollywood Tales.
Hollywood Tales on YouTube. Cool. You guys on TikTok? You got to get on TikTok.
We are not on TikTok. I think it's kind of like the high-pitch. No, it's like the high-pitched little noise they play outside of 7-Elevens to keep teenagers away because older people have degenerative nerve, you know, damage in their ears, and older people can't hear it, but teenagers are annoyed by it. Well, same with TikTok. I don't know what TikTok is. I can't see it. I'm too old.
No, my God. No, there's a lot of folks on there now. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, the celebrities that are on it. And a lot of people say, they're like, can't we at least give us TikTok? Because it was regular average Joe's on there.
No.
And now there's a ton of celebrities. And the regular people are pissed, you know.
Oh, right. Because it was supposed to be about the democratization of the media reach and influencers. And now Brie Larson's an influencer. No, Brie Larson, you're a highly trained actor with accomplishments and awards and lots of projects. You need to stay off YouTube and let, you know.
Well, I enjoy seeing whoever pops up. I enjoy seeing whoever pops up. I'm on so much social. I got
to
stop.
So you
it's
have
too
to
much.
Go watch this. Go to Paulie Shore's YouTube channel. He just posted the screen test for Encino Man. Starring a friend of mine, Jeff Maynard, me, and Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller as the caveman part that Brendan Fraser played. I'm in the Sean Astin part, and my other friend, Jeff Maynard, is in the Pauly Shore part. It's never been seen before.
Mm-hmm.
It just posted. It's already got 25,000 views or something like that. And there's two scenes. It was a test, and offers went out to all different casts.
I'm going to check it out after we get off the air, for sure.
Yeah, if you
Paulie's on TikTok, Keith.
Yeah.
Paulie's on TikTok.
Really? Paulie's
on
TikTok. The Wheeze.
We have to be on TikTok.
No, we don't have to. My mom is like, if Paulie Short jumps off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge?
No, definitely not. I heard Paulie was a little upset about Jimmy Kimmel talking about Encino Man at the Oscars, but I mean, I thought it was funny. I didn't take any offense to it, but then again, I'm not Paulie Shore, so, you know.
No, and I don't think he's like walk up and smack him on stage offended. I think he just probably shared it with his fans of like, oh, it's kind of a low blow, dude.
Right.
And you know, I know the entire breadth and length of Pauly's career. Not only his mother, Mitzi Shore, ran the comedy store, his father, Sammy Shore, used to open for Elvis.
Wow.
So everyone else can go stuff it.
That's right. I like Pauly. He's always been fun.
I love Pauly. We've
yeah.
been together a couple times. We're friends. He is he's very talented. He works very hard. He's a great stand-up. See him on tour when he does stand-up. And he also produces tons of reality shows, and he supports a lot of friends, a lot of comedy. He's, you know, in a way like Adam Sandler, but I think Pauly, he's there. You know, running that club and, you know, supporting those comics. And, you know, he's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a busy guy, too. I mean, his mom, I mean, he's been in the business forever. His mom, like I said, I didn't know his father opened for Elvis. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that. Wow. I had no idea. I got to look him up now. You got me doing homework, Keith. I don't like it.
Well, listen, the Comedy Store was Sammy Shore's club. But
Sammy got
the tour to go with Elvis, and he went on this tour for like a year. And when he got back, Mitzi was running the club. And he goes, he looks at the list, and he goes, oh, I want to go on at 8:30. And she goes, no, there's no room tonight. He goes, what? She wouldn't let Sammy on stage because she had taken over the club and already started booking the comics.
Wow. Oh, man, you got the dirt. You got everything.
Well,
The
weird coincidence is I also stage managed Sammy Shore's one man show.
Really? How cool is that? You got a million stories, Keith. We could go on and on here. Honestly, I mean, you've worked with the. I can't even tell you the stories that you could probably tell us about the people you've worked with, but you don't want to do that either on the air. But I mean, sitting down, hanging with you off the record. Oh my goodness, what stories you could tell!
Yeah, very
with
very
a big
fun.
With a big grin on your face.
I'm not a great storyteller. Most of the time, my wife goes, "Was that your story?" But you know, talking and going over, being prodded by people that were there or reading an article about, you know, a time, you know, back in the day, sometimes it'll jog my memory and I'll remember some crazy stuff that happened. But it was a lot of auditioning, a lot of hard work, and a lot of, once again, it's Curtis Armstrong, who played Booger in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
A lot of luck, man, you know.
Well, where's the book? I mean, my goodness, you could write more than one book about your life. That's for sure. Where's the book?
Okay, so I'm writing the book. Here's the book. Are you ready for the book pitch? Okay.
Yes.
It's called How to Get Your Kid in Show Business.
Very good. Yeah.
And every chapter has two stories or examples.
Hmm.
A story of my grandfather and then a story of mine. And after we've gone through all of the steps and the stages of how to get your kid in show business, it'll be a biography on my grandfather, an autobiography on myself, and a great guideline for parents and kids that want to get into show business.
Wow.
So that's my stealth way of writing it. And I've started, and it's fun. There's no money or merchant commerce involved. I'm just writing it out of love. And maybe I'll sell it online or PDFs or give it away on my website or something.
Yeah, when is it going to be ready?
All of these cable shows that we have stacked up on our TiVo, we're like 30%, and that horrifies some people. We've gotten down to like 8%. We get back on vacation, and it wouldn't record stuff because it was full. It was a nightmare.
Oh, my God. Well, I guess being in the industry, you got to love TV. You got to love movies. So no wonder you spend so much time watching them. But, Keith, thank you so much. It was a pleasure hanging out with you tonight. Thank you so much. And, guys, look out for On Our Own on Amazon Prime. Team of Two coming out. Wrong Reasons coming out. And go to KeithCooganOnline.com.
Yeah, I always make that mistake. I think it's called Team of One.
Oh,
anyway,
Keith
Coogan. No, I made that mistake earlier, and I kind of remembered. I think it's called Team of One. No, that was the joke, because he never could team up with the – maybe. Am I wrong? It's Team of Two? It's Team of Two. You're right. I was wrong.
Two or one?
I really – it's two. It's
team
two.
Team of two, folks.
Written, directed, and starring Joss Gomez And it also has Mark Singer. It has Eric Roberts. It has Ken Devishian. Myself practically has Pauly Shore, but it doesn't. Really fun movie. And that we went to the premiere, and it was a scream, a holler. I'm ridiculous in it. But, yeah, so thank you so much.
Very nice. Very nice. Let's go that over that real quick again since we did a faux pas. On Our Own is on Amazon Prime. Team of Two, Wrong Reasons. Go to KeithCooganOnline.com. That's the website. You get you got merch there, I'm sure, right? Shirts or anything like that?
Yeah, shirts, autograph. I'll sign dishes. Dishes are dying, man.
And don't forget the YouTube channel. Don't forget the YouTube channel, Keith and Pinky's Hollywood Tales. I got to check that out, too. And then why not? Let's give Pauly a plug. Let's go check out Pauly Shore's YouTube channel and check out the Encino Man outtakes. That's going to be
you
cool.
You are awesome. You are. Thank you so much for the support. And
Keith, listen, and, when the book comes out, come back. I'd love to talk to you about it and let everybody know about your book, please. And if you ever want to come back for anything else, please do. If I sound a little tired, I am. I don't usually do the show this late. So
we
did a late night for you. Oh,
you know,
no, thank
awesome.
You for accommodating me and coming on.
Yeah. Well,
thank you very
good
much.
Good night. Rest
thank
up.
You.
Thank you. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Yes, and hopefully we'll see you over at Chiller. And again, happy anniversary to both you and Pinky, and we'll see you guys soon. And thank you so much for hanging out. Everybody, Keith Coogan, thank you, sir. Have a good night. Keith, take care. It was great talking to you.
Thanks. Great talking to you,
all
too.
Right. Bye-bye, hon. Take care. Bye. All right. Keith Coogan, how cool is that? Man. I mean, there's so much I could ask him. I mean, but there's stupid questions. You know, it's stuff he's probably been asked 50 million times. So I was trying to go somewhere else with other questions. So I have to get this stuff in tonight. So thank you again, Keith. I appreciate it. On Tuesday, the 21st, we are not on the 19th. I think I've got, what do I have? Got a concert the 19th. Hang on. Do I have a concert the 19th? The 19th of March. March 19th. No, it's April. Oh, I thought I was going to attend that one. I never even asked. I didn't even reach out for that one. I didn't. Where's the list? I had it crossed off. Uh-oh. We lost the list of concerts. Prue and J-Pack. I lost the Bergen Pack. Ah, crap. Sorry, guys. We're not going to be on March 19th. I don't know why. I have it crossed off for a reason, so I didn't write down why, but March 19th we won't be on. But we'll be back on Tuesday, the 21st, with blues musician Clay Melton. And we're going to hopefully be able to play some of his songs. He's got he just released some new music, and I can't wait to play it for you guys. Well, hopefully play it. And then on the 22nd, Joey D from Joey D and his Starlighters. Oh, we're going to have a good time. We're going to play some good old stuff. And Kenny Vance also on the 23rd. We're going to play some good old stuff and talk about the new movie. It is called Heart and Soul. It is a bunch of footage that, believe it or not, Kenny was involved in Hurricane Sandy over here on the East Coast. Oh, my God, how many years ago was that? I don't even know. I don't even, maybe 10? I don't know. But anyway, his house was hit, and he went home, and there was one, like, area standing, and it was a part of his office, and he found that the footage that he had didn't get destroyed, thank God, because he was able to bring this great documentary film, if that's what you want to call it. I'm calling it a film movie called Heart and Soul, and it's footage of artists that he's worked with and watched whenever he was performing, and you name it, Frankie Lyman, all the doo-wops, and Kenny's doo-wop himself, and you know, he was with Jay and the Americans, and so we're going to have a good time. I'm going to play a couple songs, hopefully to make him smile, so, but yeah, can't wait to talk about that. I think it's premiering the 25th in Asbury Park at a music festival. I don't have the information in front of me, but I believe it's definitely the 25th. I just don't know where. I think it may be Asbury. It's in New Jersey. It may be Asbury Park. I could be wrong, or it could be Atlantic City. Anyway, we'll find out when we talk to Kenny and get the the deets, the true information. Don't take it from me. You know, I don't know if I'm coming or going. So, and then on the 26th, we've got Christine Wilshire from Musique, and we're definitely going to play her song, Push, Push in the Bush. I can't wait for that. Love that song. Old 70s disco, good times. We got doo-wop, we've got the 60s, we got the 50s, we got the 60s, we got the 70s, we got it all. And tonight we had Keith from the 80s and 90s, and he's still working it too. They all are. They're still working. Joey D, oh my goodness, I don't know how old Joey is, but he is still out there touring. And Kenny too. Kenny too. And no disrespect, there are no spring chickens, so neither am I. My guy, so I need to say. So I have here tonight, and when will we be back on? Oh God, I'm going to have to give these away online. I've got two tickets to Paradise. No, I'm kidding. I've got two tickets to the Plot Against America, a reading by the book, The Plot Against America, the book by Phil Roth. He is a Newark native. Author and all his books, he always had Newark in them. And this story is about, I believe, Charles Lindbergh is the president and brings into play anti-Semitism. And it's almost close to what we're going through now, but he wrote it quite some time ago. Anyway, March 19th at NJ Pack at 1 p.m., I've got two tickets. And that book is going to be read by Cynthia Nixon, Tony Shalhoub, Sam Waterston, and a bunch of other actors. And there are other events. It's a three-day event. I got to get this in, folks, because I didn't have it in front of me. So I am going to read this for you so you have the details. All right, March 17th through March 19th, a three-day festival at NJ Pack in Newark, okay? You've got The Plot Against America. And they're going to be doing that one. So Friday, March 17th, it kicks off. It's an audio tour at the Newark Public Library. Then 4 p.m., Philip Roth reading, myself and others, the Philip Roth reading, and it's featuring author Claudia Roth Pierpont. And that'll be read by, that's at the Tisch Stage and the Victoria Theater at 7 p.m., Then you got the 4 p.m., 7 p.m. You got to go to their website, NewJerseyNJPack.org, and you'll get all this information. And then we've got In Roth's Life, Work and Imagination, and that's featuring actors Matthew Broderick, Peter Reigert, and there's going to be a performing of these readings, of the reading of I Always Wanted You to Admire My Fasting, or looking at Kafka and the Ruthless Intimacy of Fiction by Philip Roth. So very, very, oh, man, this goes on. And then the 18th, you got it's like a full-day event. I mean, you've got the audio tour, then you've got the readings, then you've got more readings, then you've got, it's unbelievable, unbelievable. And then the 19th, there's the same thing. Go to njpack.org to check it out. And again, there's all celebrities will be reading the works of Philip Roth. And John Turturro is another actor that'll be there. Again, Peter Reigert, Jason Kravitz, Sam Waterston, Eric Boghossian, Andre DeShields, Essa Patham Merkerson. Oh, my goodness. I mean, there's just so many people there. And there's going to be a stand-up show as well with Eddie Brill, Ariel Elias, and Phil Hanley is going to be there. And that's going to be at the Hobbies Delicatessen. And I'm sorry, I'm just reading here. It's really a lot going on. So go to njpack.org to find out the details on that. This is too much for me to go and read. I would butcher it, because it's so small and I can't see. And and we have two tickets for the March 19th event. So if you guys want that, you can reach out to me, either call or email us, or, you know, reach out to the website, and they're yours. Or I will post them up on online as well, see if somebody would like to attend that. If you're into, I mean, it's literati, it's glitterati. You've got literature and celebrities. I mean, how much fun is that? I mean, you can't complain about that. So I missed, unfortunately, an event on Monday. They announced an announcement at NJPAC, and there's going to be in June, going to be a week, three successive weekends in June of entertainment, pop-up entertainment. It's going to be in Newark at the NJPAC. You got Asbury Park and Atlantic City. There's going to be headliners. Going to be arts, music, film, comedy, technology. I mean, this is crazy. I have to share that online with you folks too. I don't have it in front of me. I thought I had everything here, and I don't. So I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm going to see if I can find it on here. Maybe you can hear what I hear. Yeah, let me see if I can play it for you guys. Let's see. See if we can play this. Tension. Not that one. Not that one. Where is it? March. It had to be just this other day. Right? There we go. Let's see if we can play it. I don't know if you guys are going to be able to hear this. Let me turn my volume up. And I'm going to share this online as well. So I hope you can hear this. Check it out. 1 minute. I should record it so I can play it here. Here we go. Well, come on. Play. Play, play, play. Come on, play. Why aren't you playing? Is that it? No. All right, attention level. NJPAC has produced a major arts festival. Now, all right. Because it had a list of who was going to be there. And I don't have it now. You know. Let's see. Hang on. I'm going to get it. Nah, that's not me. Anyway, go to njpac.org. I apologize. I have it here and I can't find it again. Sorry for the dead air, folks. I'm trying to find this for you and I can't find it. All right, so 3 weekends in June, there's going to be major celebrities, musicians, and everything. So check it out at njpac.org. And the schedule isn't out yet where times and dates, but it is 3 weekends in June. So go check that out and join us again on the 21st. Tuesday, 9 a.m. Eastern with the blues musician Clay Melton. We're going to play some new stuff. And looking forward to all these shows, Joey D, Kenny Vance, and Kristen Wiltshire. And then April, we're already filling up for April. Unfortunately, there's a lot going on in April, so I got to work around those. I'm starting to cover events again. So have I mentioned how happy I am to be back? I'm thrilled. I love being busy. And I love hanging out with these great guests. Keith Coogan, thank you so much for hanging out tonight. And, guys, I hope you all have a great weekend. The weather is finally breaking. It was beautiful today. I think it's supposed to be 68 tomorrow if you're on the East Coast, in Jersey specifically. Around me, it's going to be 68. So, listen, have a great weekend. I love you all. I appreciate you hanging out and listening. You'll be doing anything else, but you're hanging out with me, and that's pretty cool. Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough. Keith Coogan. Go to keithcoogan.com. And don't forget to go to the YouTube channel, Keith and Pinky's Hollywood Tales. I have to check that out, too, tonight after we get off the air. So here you go, folks. Have a great weekend. We will see you next week. Thank you for listening to Applause Radio Show, and thank you to Keith Coogan. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.